Hey everyone, welcome to The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson. Happy heading into September, which is, you know, it's not my favorite month, but that's okay. We're going to acknowledge it anyway. Summer is drawing to a close, which is very sad for me. And so I'm just going to be honest about that, put it out there. So if you also are mourning summer, write to us, editor@boundless.org, and tell us how you feel about that. In the meantime, later on in the show, we're going to answer a question from someone who basically has a friend who is arrogant. We're just going to put that on the table. And they feel like it's actually affecting their relationships, and they kind of want to step in and be honest about this and help this friend understand. But how do they do that well? And so we're going to hopefully weigh in with some good advice there. Then for our culture segment, we have Clay Scroggins. He's the lead pastor out at North Point Church in Atlanta and works for Andy Stanley. Not that that's intimidating, but he actually wrote a book called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. And who of us does that not apply to? That's all of us right here in this audience, people. So great insight from him as to how he has maximized every position that he's been in to understand leadership and to really serve right where he is and gain great experience. Well, here we are for our roundtable, speaking of gaining experience and all that. And there are all, you know, millennials get a bad rap. I know you guys do. I'm an Xer, so I criticize you often. But, you know, I think there's this idea, you always hear the E word, entitlement, like millennials, they just want everything handed to them and whatever. And people have written articles about it, including there was one we just passed around the table here. Why do millennials expect to be promoted? And which actually ties in nicely with the article we just published on Boundless about jumpstarting your career from Alex Chediak. Great insight from him. He's an expert on career and education, college, planning for that. And so fortunately, we have Jake, Rachel, and Austin here. Hi, guys.
What a be.
Hi.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Okay, well, this is, we're going to break it down here for real because this is where the rubber hits the road in applying this to our own lives. So we have got, let's see, you two, Rachel and Austin, you're ready to launch, right? You have completed an internship here at Focus on the Family this summer. You're just ready to take on the world, aren't you?
Pretty much at this point. I have about a year left in school, so
okay.
After that, I'm going to be kind of diving into the workforce.
Okay, I'm figuring all that out. And then Jake, you and I, we're working the churn in our lives. We love it. But it's interesting because I think we have these ideas, whether you've met with career counselors in school or not, and then even as you enter the workforce, sometimes you may sit down for a developmental chat with your boss or not. some of us, it's like, hey, when was the last time I saw my boss? But you know, varying levels of that. And you kind of feel like you should have this expectation of, okay, by 25, I'm here in my career. By 28, I'm here. 30, I'm doing this, you know, and it rarely works that way unless you are maybe in the military where there seems to be a more kind of linear plan of how you work that out. But I just want to start it out by asking you guys what, I mean, this idea, even this article title, why do millennials expect to be promoted? Does that even ring true? Is this kind of like, where do you feel your expectation is around that question?
I don't know. I don't feel like I've ever had an expectation mm-hmm. of promotion. I've had aspiration mm-hmm. for promotion. That's how I've kind of felt about it is I'll see opportunities and think, you know, maybe I'm not quite there, but I think I could get there and I think I could push myself there. And I think if I could convince somebody that is hiring for this role that I can step in and learn and grow in this space, that I will be great for this role and even better than they anticipated. And so for me, it's always been an aspirational thing rather than an entitlement. Mm-hmm. Not thinking I'm owed this, I'm already there, but thinking I want to push there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think one thing that's really important to acknowledge, and he especially breaks down in the article really well, is the difference between entitlement and expectation. Because entitlement is, I just deserve this and you're going to hand it to me like everybody else has. And that's something that a lot of us who are aware of the association of expectation with millennials try to steer away from. But then there's also this aspect of expectation of, well, previously I've worked hard and gotten it, so why wouldn't that happen again here? And I feel like that's something that I would tend more to fall into of, I've done X, Y, and Z. Shouldn't this happen now? Yeah. So just kind of being aware of that, because it still has its pitfalls, especially when that doesn't happen. And then you're like, now what?
Mm-hmm. So we've been sold that as the American dream.
Exactly. Is
if you work hard, if you go to school, if you stay in school, get your degree, you know, put your head down and do hard work, you're going to be promoted. That is what we've been sold as the American dream for decades.
I feel like millennials don't always follow that, though. And they kind of have been given the after product of the people who actually believed in the American dream. So a lot of the time they actually think like, oh, since I got this throughout my life, that kind of comes into the expectation of I'm going to get promoted in the job or get the job I just want when I come out of wherever I'm going to school or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I come from like an area where a lot of parents are on the wealthier side. So they kind of hand things to their kids, and it's almost as if they expect that to continue to happen throughout their life. So I can see where the expectation of millennials saying I should get promoted comes from. Mm-hmm. So,
but is that a millennial thing, or is that just a demographic thing? Like, is that generational, in the sense that it's because they were raised wealthy that they have that attitude, versus it's a broad millennial expectation? Like, the Xers before them and the boomers before them, if they had wealthy parents, didn't they have the same expectations?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
It's kind of something you kind of break out, because in demographics, it's going to be a bit stronger in the wealthier families. But at the same time, this is something that's kind of snowballed over generations, because each generation says, I want to make it easier for my kids.
Right.
And when that builds up, then you get the millennials as this product from this increase over all the generations, to this point where they really expect it.
Yeah, I feel like it really took hold in the Gen X generation, maybe the tail end of the boomers, where it was this idea of you can be anything that you want to be. Mm-hmm. I think previous generations, like our grandparents and stuff, it was like you just worked hard and you raised a family and you just did what you were expected to do, and people gave, you know, their time to their companies and all that kind of stuff. But now it's almost like we're equating a job with like self-actualization or fulfillment. Yeah. And so it has, and the way we Christianize it, you know, in the church is calling. Like, we have to have this amazing calling, and it has to translate into a job. And as a result, we're just constantly chasing our tails and feeling like we got to do that next thing. Or we see, you know, we know this, the whole concept of outliers, you know, plays into that too. We see someone who is doing something amazing and we think, oh yeah. I mean, I had my hopes dashed long ago that I was not going to be an astronaut, people. Someone tried to tell me I could be, and then they're like, no, your vision is horrible. You will not be an astronaut. And I was just very discouraged by that. but I think there's kind of, I agree with you, Austin, that at some point millennials have gotten kind of the reality check of, okay, what we were sold in elementary school and all this be all you can be business is not always true.
Participation.
Not everyone is going to be president, everyone, you know, not everyone. Yeah. But at the same time, I think there's still that desire, because we see those success stories. We see the, you know, the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates and the people who, you know, the Zuckerbergs and stuff who've made something happen. And we think, what if that would be me? And what does it take to get there? So where do you guys feel along the lines of this idea of almost the perfect storm of, you know, straight up asking for responsibility, promotion, kind of going after what you want, and then the whole being in the right time at the right place, waiting, biding your time, paying your dues, all that kind of stuff, and then just knowing the right people and just a little bit of, you know, providence slash luck slash, you know, the glory of the Lord shining down upon you. How do you feel all three of those play together, and are there any ways in your life that they actually have?
I mean, I absolutely think it's a combination, and it's seasonal. It's kind of ecclesiastical in that sense, where there's a time and there's a season where it's like, you know what, keep your head down, do good work, you'll get noticed. But then other times where it's like, you know what, you do need to speak up. You see an opportunity, a pain point that somebody has, and you ask, you know, if you can help them solve it, and you put yourself forward. And then sometimes it is that person you put yourself forward for gets into the right position to set you up for a promotion, a transition, or whatever it is. And it's not like any one of those things by themselves are going to be the long-term answer. But when they all three kind of work in tandem, I think that's where that sweet spot is, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is just a little bit of all three.
Personal story from me. Basically, one of my very good friends, I had kind of stuck my neck out for a while, and his mother is actually a CEO of another nonprofit. So it kind of is the time and place along with the other work and my background in working as well. I was actually offered a position after college to work with that nonprofit. So that's something that is kind of set up for me due to the fact of the work that was put in, God's timing, and then her position after her son was my friend.
Yeah, I think it's something you can never really like formulate, like you guys were saying, like it just kind of happens and you can't really control it. And for me, that's stressful because I want to control everything and see how God's working it out right now, but I can't. So like the way that these are so out of my control, yet there's a little bit of control there with that, like when you step up and speak out or you're the work that you do right now, then for me, it kind of combines into something that's very stressful for me. So I have to like give it over to God. And then when I do that, and then I, like you were saying, like kind of putting your head down to a little bit, but really just working faithfully where you are now and trusting him in it and taking opportunities as he gives them, knowing they may or may not work out, but ultimately having to trust God with all three, with that combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think biblically the example we're given time and time again is to be faithful with what God has put in front of you, to do the hard work, and then at the right time. That's actually, I was looking it up, that's in 1 Peter. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so at the proper time he may exalt you. So it's like if you're doing the faithful work, putting your head down, doing what you can do, knowing you can't control any other circumstances, that's the kind of stuff that will place you in the right positions when the right times come around. Mm-hmm. Instead of if you're spending all your time worrying about it, you're not getting anything done and you're not positioning yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, as an example, I've had interns in the past where, you know, they just kept their head, like they got the work done. They asked questions. They never had any expectation of, like, they weren't asking me for recommendations for, you know, this, that, or the other thing. They just asked me for what I wanted them to do, what I needed them to do. And they asked for more work and how can I help you with this and how can I help you with that? And then an opportunity came out of the blue through somebody else and said, hey, I'm looking for somebody in this like sphere. And that was the person who came to my mind. The person that came to my mind was the person who just did what I asked them to do and asked for more and mm-hmm. asked to help and asked great questions and did good work.
Mm-hmm. So what about the scenario? Because I think a lot of times, you know, we have to draw something realistic here of like, yeah, you know, I've heard of people who are like, yeah, I was in that job for 3 months and I didn't get a promotion. And so I knew, you know, it was, I had to be done. And you're like, okay, seriously. But there are some people that have been in a job 5 years, 7 years, whatever. And it really is, they're just stalled out. Either there is nowhere else for them to go there or they have leadership that just isn't developing people, whatever. What would you say is the, like, what's that balance between head down, bide your time, wait, trust the Lord, and then I might really need to start looking elsewhere, or I might need to start, because I think sometimes we can over-spiritualize it and be like, no, don't, you know, don't get ahead of God, or don't, mm-hmm. but sometimes you have to be practical if you're, you know, you have skills and they're not being utilized. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I don't think you're, like, ignoring God if you're being practical, if you're, like, you can realize that, you know what, maybe God's trying to get my attention, that he wants me out of here. Like, I don't think leaving is ignoring God by any means. And at that point, you just have to, like, this is just my thoughts, but being able to see, have I done what I was put here to do? Have I done everything in my power here to go as far as I can? And then, like, praying and talking to mentors and talking to people outside, what are you seeing? How is this job affecting me? How am I being effective in this position? Do you see any other ways I can do it? And if not, is there anything you've heard of? And just starting to open up and look for opportunities that God might actually be laying out that you might be missing.
Yeah, I think it's so important to have those people that are farther down the road than you, that have that long-term perspective, that have seen it go a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. and can provide that wisdom, mm-hmm. because we don't have it, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I've been in the workforce still, you know, only not even a decade, like, from graduating college, mm-hmm. and so there's still the long game that I don't see, that I haven't seen, that people that have been in the game for 20, 30 years can and have seen, mm-hmm. how things go and can help you identify what are unhealthy situations, what are toxic, mm-hmm. situations, mm-hmm. and kind of help you get out of your own headspace. Because, mm-hmm. it's easy, I think, in our own heads to either under or over spiritualize versus somebody who's removed from that situation, has seen the long game play out in their own lives and their mm-hmm. colleagues' lives, and can provide that context, I think is very underappreciated by us. Because we think as young people, there's part of that aspiration, that expectation is, I want to change things. I want to do them all new. I want to infuse this with fresh vigor and life. And but we should never do that at the expense of the wisdom of those mm-hmm. who have been there before us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling stagnant, like the article said, only 29% of millennials are actually engaged in their job, which is kind of a staggering statistic. Yes. But you need to at least be moving forward in your own career and in your own mind, and trying to break out of that box that you're putting yourself in. So if you're feeling stagnant in that position, go to those mentors and try to see if there is something else that you can do mm-hmm. differently day to day, just mm-hmm. to kind of spark interest again for you.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do have to move forward, and you want to move forward in that creative sense and be able to actually build upon what you know and your skills.
Yeah. One thing I really like about what last week's article said at Boundless is the idea of, yeah, if you're not getting all of your creative juices fulfilled in your 8-to-5 job or whatever, then look at something on the side. Look at a little bit of freelancing. Look at getting into, you know, utilizing through your hobbies or through other things that you can help people out with inside things, you know, because they may lead to something bigger eventually too. So it's a great opportunity to explore stuff. Okay, so as you think of your own life, so, you know, Jake, knowing where you've been so far, what you've trended towards as far as stuff that you like, that you've experimented with, that you don't, I want you to speak to, what do you think? I mean, would you even dare say, okay, at 30, I want to be doing this, or this I would like to see different, or this, whatever. And Rachel and Austin, knowing that you're going to launch, what do you look in your specific careers, the disciplines that you're now getting study for? What are you hopeful for in the next 3 years? Like, what would you like that to look like?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because it's such a standard job seeking and applicant asking question of, where do you see yourself in 5, 10 years? And I've always struggled with that, mm-hmm. you know, and I've tried to wrestle with it internally to say, do I have this problem with this question just because I've never tried to look ahead 5 years, or do I have a problem with it because I've just never seen it play out the way I think? Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting balance between trying to look ahead, trying to position yourself for what's to come, but also understanding that if you're open to, you know, how God is going to provide opportunities and how you're going to respond to those opportunities, it's going to look a lot different than what you thought. Because when I was 16, when I was 15, I thought I was going to be a pro football player. When I was 20, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. Now I'm, you know, coming up on 30 in a couple of years, and I'm a social media, you know, strategist, which wasn't a job, you know, 10 years ago. And so it's like, in my experience,
maybe you'll have a job that doesn't exist today.
Yeah, you could, exactly. I'm like, there literally could be jobs in 5 years that do not exist today that mm-hmm. could open up and be great opportunities. And so I think it's not bad to look ahead and to say, how do I position myself skill wise for the next 5 to 10 years? But hold loosely any specific ideas mm-hmm. because, man, it's ever changing. The job market, the professional workplace is a constant evolution these days. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, be open to some of that flow.
Mm-hmm. And I think structuring yourself skill wise, like you were saying, is very important, just because we learn all of these different skills throughout college that we are going to be applying into the workforce. So different skills can be a part of different jobs. And I don't think that you need to actually structure yourself around the job that you want in that 3 to 5 year time frame. More so, what skills can you acquire to make yourself as spread across the board as you can? So whether I'm going for finance, and I would like to be able to work with nonprofits in order to make sure that all the finances and all cash flows are moving smoothly and in the best way possible. But that doesn't always
that
say,
is so boring.
Yeah, right? But to me, it's not. So I don't know. It's
job
just
career shaming. Sorry.
That's quite all right.
Says the liberal arts degree yeah. person. Yeah.
Hey, but you get to sit can here
barely
and have
balance
a good day,
her own bank account. Okay.
Basically, I don't know what my set job is going to be forever, but I know that I can set the skills up that I need in order to get any job in the field that I want to be in. And I think that's more important. So my 3-year plan would just be rounding out my skills.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very similar to you guys in that sense of just realizing that I don't know where I'm going to be and I don't know what God has in store to me. And I'm really early on in my career, so it's a very exploratory still. I'm a sociology and psych focus, so I really enjoy it, but just kind of they're so broad that I'm still learning all the different applications of it, and this internship has been a great opportunity for that. And I think one thing that has been a problem for me with that question is that I judge myself very harshly, grade myself. So if I set a goal and I'm not there, then that could be really hard for me. And so just trying to acknowledge and broaden what I want to have happen in that period of time so that I can see, okay, maybe I didn't make this, but I made this, and to acknowledge where I've grown, where I haven't, instead of like, if I set this exact goal and I'm not there, then that's going to be a problem for me. Mm-hmm. So just kind of like knowing myself well enough to be able to set up the goal for myself well.
Yeah, so true. And I think, too, I mean, I always like to encourage millennials especially to not only focus on a skill set. I mean, anyone, you know, you can go and you can get your degree and you can have that piece of paper in your hand. Or I've talked to a lot of people who are like, okay, well, now I'm just going to get this other degree, or I'm going to get this, you know, program management certificate or an MBA or whatever. And I'm like, also look at the people around you and learn from them and learn how to relate to people, how to understand. If you are working in a workplace with a ton of boomers, know that generation, mm-hmm. know what they value, mm-hmm. because, you know, for you to just come in, you know, looking all hipster and being, you know, full of your ideas and stuff, they could be awesome, but these people do not understand that. And they're the ones who are going to be, you know, saying yay or nay to promotions and moving you up and down until they die. You know, I mean, just wait it out, people.
Was that a jab at my sweet man beard and bun?
I'm averting my eyes from the bun, let's be honest here. Yeah. Jake is leading the charge here, related to, well, not you have your posse of fellow facial hair people.
That's true, yeah. I've created a gang to protect myself.
That's good to know. So, thanks, you guys. This is great insight, I think, for folks. And all of you out there, of course, we want to hear where you are in this. Where are you in your career? And do you feel like you are ready for that next promotion? What does that look like? Are you going to make an ask for it? Are you kind of staying faithful where you are? Do you feel you need a switch altogether, maybe? We would love to hear from you. So hop over to the blog and comment on this week's show. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.